was driving into this town the other day, and I came across these words in a notice board. New owner, new chef, new menu. New owner, new chef, new menu. I thought to myself, that's the gospel, isn't it? The gospel's to give us a new owner. So that instead of being slaves of sin, captives to sin, we get a new owner. It's also to give us a new source of supply. A new chef. New chef. And a new menu. Different kind of food that we'd have before. You know, it's a wonderful gospel that God's offering to humanity tonight. There's a lot of people live in this world. A lot of people. A lot of different nations. A lot of different colours. A lot of different ideas. But the sad thing about humanity is that people are slaves of sin. When Jesus was here, some people says we're Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage or slavery to anyone. And Jesus says everyone that practices sin is the bondman or the slave of sin. But Jesus came to set men free. God made man perfect. God made human beings such that we had the capability of being able to respond to him, respond to his love, enjoy his favour, enjoy communion with God. That's how God made man. He gave us the capability, unlike the animals or the birds, however nice they might be, he gave us the capability with a moral element in our souls of being able to be dependent on him and to enjoy his favour and to be thankful and to be appreciative and for God to enjoy communion with man. Alas, sin came into the world. By one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and all the death, and all the suffering, and all the sorrow that's around in the world today, however you look at things, is all the result of sin coming into the world. But God took account of his creature, man, and God has provided a remedy. He's provided a remedy in Jesus. We became slaves of sin through the work of the devil. It's not long in our lives before we start doing wrong things. Every one of us here has done wrong things. I don't know everyone here, but I know this, that you, like me, are a sinner. Some people don't accept that. I've spoken to people, they don't accept that they're sinners. Then you start talking to them a bit further, and sooner or later, everyone will admit that they've done something wrong. We've all done wrong things. And God hates sin. God has always hated sin. God has always hated lawlessness. God made man to be obedient, to be dependent on himself. God hates sin. He hates lawlessness. But God's provided the answer in the obedient one, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus came into the world to deliver people like you and me from lives of lawlessness, so that instead of being under the reign of sin, we might be under the reign of grace. We might be under the control of a man in heaven who loves us and has loved us so much that he's died for us. So much he's died for us. I can say that Jesus came here for me. He came to die for me. He died and bore my sins in his body on the tree. And I can tell you this, that Jesus gave himself a ransom for all. There was man away from God, great gulf between God and men. Man, the human race, had become enemies of God through wicked works. He is the perfect, righteous, holy God who desired to have communion with man and for man to have communion with him. But this terrible gulf had come in through sin. Who was able to solve it? Could you have solved it? Could I have solved it? Could any of the great statesmen of the world solve it? Could Julius Caesar solve it? Could Alexander the Great solve it? They could sweep their soldiers through the world at that time and establish empires, but they couldn't solve the question of sin. In fact, they were sinners themselves. But Jesus came into this world. Didn't come as a mighty conqueror. Didn't come with armour on. Didn't come in public glory. He came in lowliness. He came in grace. He came in to be approachable to everyone. There's nobody that couldn't approach Jesus. And he came in to save us from our sins. He came in to take ownership from us, to buy us back to God. You know, that's what ransom is, buying back. God had lost you and me and everyone else his property. And Jesus came to buy us back to God. He paid in full the price. Wonderful what Jesus did at the cross at Calvary. It wasn't just that he died a martyr's death. It wasn't just that there was a miscarriage of justice, yet there was a terrible miscarriage of justice. But Jesus went to the cross to die for you and die for me and die for every lost sinner so that we might be brought back to God. As Peter says, he died the just. Christ has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. That he might become our owner, so that we're no longer our own, no longer the slaves of sin, no longer under the control of Satan, no longer governed by our lusts and our pride, but under the control of a living man who's in the heaven. Because Jesus not only died for our sins, but he was buried, and he rose the third day, according to the scriptures, now seated at the right hand of God, available to everyone who repents and puts their trust in him. Wonderful message about a living Saviour who died once on the cross, but now lives in the glory. And his work is great enough to save everyone from their sins, for everyone to get a new owner. Who's your owner? Well, you say, I do what I like. I'll tell you this, everyone that practices sin is the slave of sin. You need a new owner. I need a new owner. Thank God I have a new master, and that master is Jesus. Well, I read in Samuel, because I thought about this scripture in Samuel, when I thought about a new owner. And here was a man, and he had a master, and his master left him. His master did treat him well. He took ill, and his master left him because he was sick. You know, I'll tell you this, Jesus is a wonderful master. He'll never let you down. He'll never let you go. You never need to feel lonely. If you know Jesus as your Saviour, you can always turn to him, day and night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. His ears always open. He's a wonderful master. I've got a master who loved me. Apostle Paul could speak about Jesus as the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, the gospel's very individual. I know the message is available to everyone, but having a link with the Lord Jesus Christ is intensely personal. I can't have your link with Christ, and you can't have mine, but I can have a living link with Jesus, and so can you. It's a wonderful thing to know a change of master. And this man, this young man who's a man of Egypt, just a man of the world. Many people, just men and women of the world, just go along with the trend of things in society. You know, over my lifetime, lots of changes have taken place in society, but it's still the present evil world. And the gospel comes to deliver us from the present evil world and attach us to a glorious, righteous Saviour who lives at the right hand of God. So here was a man, and it says David's men found an Egyptian in the field, and they brought him to David. Oh, great thing to be brought to Jesus. Mm-hmm. There's some people out preaching in Preston in the past week, out there in the market at Preston, very cosmopolitan place, lots of Chinese students, lots of people with an Asian background that live in Preston. And they were out preaching in the street, and one person came to know Jesus, and they were out preaching in the street. Great thing, these people are delighted they've brought someone to Jesus. Great thing to come to Christ. Great thing to be able to lead someone else to the Lord. And that's what they did. They led this man to David. He came to David, and what happened? And they gave him something. Notice that they gave him something. Christianity is a system of supply, not a system of demand. God's not expecting anything from you. He doesn't say you've got to do 10 years of penance or 5 years of penance or do something to merit salvation. It's not of works. It's of grace. You're saved by grace through faith, Paul says. Only a sinner saved by grace. This man didn't have to do anything. What he had to do was accept the offer. And that's what every sinner has to do. I've had to do. You have to do is accept God's offer of mercy that's available in the glad tidings. It's not going to make much of you. It's not going to make much of me. It's not going to make much of anyone else except Jesus, because he did the work. And here's a man, and they brought him to David, and they gave him bread, and he ate, gave him water to drink, and he ate, and gave him a piece of fig cake, 2 raisin cakes, and he ate, and his spirit came again to him. You know, it's not just water he got. That would have probably got him to survive. If David had just wanted to get a little bit of information out of him, they could give him a drink of water and tortured him perhaps, and he would have told all the things he wanted to know. That's not the Christianity. God's not torturing people. God is supplying people. Paul says, "My God shall abundantly supply all your need according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Christianity is a system of supply. God's abundantly pardoning the repenting sinner. God is giving the abundance of grace to everyone who repents of their sins and turns to Jesus. And so here's a man, and he got something. And they got something, and that's what you can get when you come to Jesus. What we need, first of all, is to get forgiveness of our sins. There's a question of righteousness has to be settled. I'm a sinner. God's a holy God. I need to repent of my sins and avail myself of the work of Jesus that he did at the cross at Calvary, so that I might, through repentance and faith in Christ, receive forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Wonderful what God is offering in the gospel today to every sinner who repents. And so, David says to him, "To whom belongest thou?" Well, it's a good question. Who do you belong to? Who do you belong to? Sometimes people say to me, "What do you belong to?" But who do you belong to is a much more important question. Are you a captive of Satan? Am I a captive of Satan? Or have I got a new master? New master. Great thing to get a new master. You know the disciples? Jesus chose disciples when he was here. He says to this one, as he was walking along, "Follow me." And he left all and he followed Jesus. He said to another one, "Follow me." And that man, one man was working in his business and he's in collecting the money. He followed Jesus. Another man was fishing. Another man was mending his nets. And they left all and they followed Jesus. He became their master. One day they were out in a ship and there was a storm. You know what they said? "Master, master, we perish." I don't want to draw attention to them saying that we perish, but they said to Jesus, "Master." They'd come under a new master. Great thing you can know when you come under a new master. You can turn to him at any time, whether it be the storms of life, whether it be the ups and downs of life, all the problems that you might have in your home, in your family, in your business, in your health. You can turn to Jesus at all times. You can get balm, you can get comfort, you can get support, you can get love from that blessed man. He said, "Master, master, we perish." And Jesus gave him the answer. He's a wonderful master. "I commend him to you." There's nobody in the universe like Jesus. He's alive, you know. Some people don't think he's alive. Some people don't think he ever existed. But thank God he did come. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's why he came. He came to save you. He came to save me. He came to save everyone who repents of their sins and puts their trust in him. Well, this man changed his master. changed his allegiance. No longer under the old master now. He was dead scared of the old master. But you know, when you come to Jesus, you'll find he loves you. And perfect love casts out fear. God hasn't given us again a spirit of bondage against for fear, but gives us a spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Christianity is a system of liberty. Under control, total control. Paul says when he writes to believers at Corinth, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. He paid in full the price. He shed his blood to save me. Wonderful Saviour. Wonderful Saviour who died on the cross and now lives for me in the glory. And they came to know him as their Saviour. Well, may each one of us know what it is to come under a new owner. I want to speak about what he does. He feeds us. He feeds us. I'll tell you this, Jesus is still feeding people today. We read about him feeding people when he was here. There they were. They had been away out on a fishing trip. Been away out fishing. Oh, in the Sea of Galilee all night. Remember, these men, most of them were fishermen themselves. They knew how to fish. They knew all about it. Just as you people around here, many of you know about farming and know all about the ins and outs of farming. They knew the tricks of the trade so far as fishing was concerned. But they toiled all night and they didn't catch anything. And Jesus said to them, in the morning, children, have you anything to eat? I want to tell you about this new chef. He provides everything. He provides everything. He speaks about himself somewhere else as the good shepherd. Good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. But the good shepherd also provides pasture for his sheep. You know, once you become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you become one of his sheep. Wonderful to be one of the sheep of Christ. Because one of the things he says about his sheep, they'll never perish. If you're one of the sheep of Christ, if you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never perish. You'll never go to hell. You'll be with Christ in heaven. You'll never perish. There's one thing about the sheep, they never perish. No one can pluck out of the hands of Christ. No one can pluck out of the hands of his Father. One of the hymn writers says, though Satan should buffet, though trial should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and shed his own blood for my soul. Once you become a sheep of Christ, you're always a sheep of Christ. No matter how you might go off the rails a bit. I've gone off the rails in my life, I'll have to be honest with you. But Christ is always the same. Amen. His love never changed. He abides faithful. If we are unfaithful, he abides faithful. He can't deny himself. And Jesus is always true to himself and always looks after his sheep. But here he is on this shore in the Sea of Galilee. And they've gone off toiling all night and they didn't catch anything. And he says to them, children, have you anything to eat? You know, we need things to eat. We do naturally, don't we? We'd starve, we'd die, we don't eat. Children, have you anything to eat? Well, Jesus provided something for them. He told them what to do, and they caught a lot of fish. They caught about 100, it tells you how many there were. They caught 153 great fishes. They caught under the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he has prepared. Notice what he'd done. Remember, they were all night, they were cold, they were wet, they'd been miserable, they'd been doing all this. And Jesus in the morning, what does he do? They come out on land, they see a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Who'd provided that? Jesus had provided that. You know, he's a wonderful Saviour. He's an all-the-way-home Saviour. You know, Jesus doesn't just save people from the lake of fire and leave them to sink or swim. He does not. He looks after his own. One of the passages in Ephesians speaks about Christ. He nourishes and cherishes those who belong to him. He nourishes and cherishes his church. Nourishes means he feeds them. He feeds them. He does it. He might do it through others, You might do it through your own personal reading of the scriptures. He nourishes. He provides food. And you don't just need food once. You need food day by day, a balanced diet to keep you going. Mm. And he provides nourishing and cherishing. It is a fire. It would keep them warm, wouldn't it? Warm them up. A cold night at sea, there they are, this nice warm fire. They would gather round this fire. And what he had was fish for them and bread. He provided that. He's a wonderful chef, might I say. He provides exactly what people need. Mm. Wonderful thing to get provision from the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm. And so they take that and they eat it. And he says to them, come and dine. Notice that, come and dine. Not just come and get a few crumbs. Not just come and get a few scraps. Come and dine. Jesus is generous. He's a generous master. A loving saviour. He's a generous person. He gives to all freely. And reproaches not. What a wonderful person he is. I commend him to you. There's nobody like my saviour. A living saviour in heaven. Who loves his own. And he looks after them and cares for them, nourishes them, provides all that they require. And so he says, come and dine. And he comes, notice, he comes, he takes the bread, he gives it to them, and the fish in like manner. Jesus is interested in you personally, just as he's interested in me personally. You know, we're all different. We've all got our own peculiarities, our own weaknesses, our own tendencies. Oh, things that everybody's different. No two people are exactly the same. And Jesus knows what needs you've got for your soul, and he would provide what you need now and throughout all your life until you see him as he, when he comes for you, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, because the Lord's going to come for those who believe. He's also going to come for everyone. He's also going to raise everyone who's died. There'll be two resurrections, you know. Resurrection of the just, resurrection of the unjust. Everyone will appear before Christ. Everyone will give an account of himself to God. No exceptions. But here's Jesus. He's providing for them. He's the chef, providing a lovely menu, lovely lot of food and warmth to give them exactly what they needed on that cold morning as they came out of that ship. Menu. We need a menu, a new menu. This world is full of stuff to take up people's attention, to fill people's minds. Alas, this world is under the control of the God of this world. And he fills people's minds of so much today that can fill people's minds with wrong ideas that minister to the lusts of the flesh and the lusts of the eyes and the pride of life. We need a new menu. And I'll tell you this, we can get that from Jesus. A new menu. Every Christian needs a new menu. And the reason that many Christians don't grow in their souls is they feed on the wrong kind of food. God wants us to feed on the right kind of food. The Apostle Peter speaks about those, he's writing to people who believe, and he tells them, like newborn babes, to desire earnestly the pure mental milk of the word, that by it they might grow up to salvation. He tells them to lay aside other things and feed on the pure mental milk of the word. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they left one kind of food behind. I know at times they had a hankering after it. The leeks and the garlic and the various things that they got for nothing. They said they got it for nothing. They didn't get it for nothing. They were slaves in Egypt. And even although they might have had these melons and the leeks and the garlic and the onions and the various things, they were slaves there. Mm. But once they came out of Egypt, they got new kind of food. I want to tell you just briefly about three kinds of food that we want to have on the menu. And the first was the food to get them out of Egypt. You know, when they got out of Egypt, the blood was put on the doorposts and the lintel of that little lamb that was slain, lamb without blemish, Everyone under the shelter of that house with the blood and the doorpost and the lintel was safe. But they had to do something inside. They weren't doing anything to merit salvation, but they had to feed on the lamb roast with fire. God wants us to feed on Jesus. Feed on his death. Think about his death. I should feed on the death of Jesus every day. And that's a great deliverance from the present evil world, is to feed upon the death of Jesus. Realize he had to suffer, that I was to go free. And that's a great preservative to me, and helps me to get going on the Christian path out of this world towards heaven. Because God wants us to be pilgrims and strangers in this world, and run with endurance the race that lies before us, looking unto Jesus. The food to get us out of Egypt. The lamb roast with fire. They had to eat with bitter herbs, yes. Jesus had to suffer that I was to be free. I should feel the fact that Jesus had to suffer that I was to go free. I deserved the judgment of God. Jesus bore it on my account. They had to eat that food. Then when they got into the wilderness, they got a new kind of food. They got manna from heaven. But the grace of Christ to help us in our circumstances of life, as we go through life with all the pitfalls, with all the difficulties, with all the things that test our spirits, with all the things that would irritate us, and cause us to be unthankful, we need to feed upon Christ. That he came here, he was once humbled here, he once lived here, he's left us a model that we should follow in his steps. What wonderful food for our souls to feed upon Christ, Jesus, who was once here in lowly guise. And when they got to the land, they got other kind of food. They ate of the old corn of the land. Different kind of diet, you know. God's got a wonderful menu, you know. Wonderful menu. Oh, I'd commend it to you. You must study the scriptures. Find out about God's menu. Wonderful menu that he's got. So that we have a balanced diet. Food to get us out of Egypt. Food to get us going in the world. Food to occupy us with Christ in glory. Get us ready for going to be with him and when he comes again. I commend to you that you might have a new owner. Take control of your life. A new person to take control of your life. Control your mind. Control your heart. Control your body. Because our bodies are to be here now for the will of God, instead of being for our own wills, our own lusts, to be here for the will of God. Come under control of a new owner. To get a new chef who provides all that we require. And to get our teeth into this menu that God provides. That will nourish our souls. Help us on the Christian road. So that we're here for the glory of God. Until we see our Saviour face to face in glory. What a wonderful message God has for the whole of humanity. Let us drink it in. Let us be satisfied with Jesus. And let us on our side be among those who return and give thanks to him because of all that he's done for us. I commend Christ to you. That every one of us might put our trust in him and follow him and be waiting for him coming again from the heavens. What a wonderful Saviour he is. May the Lord bless us all for his name's sake.